You're listening to WWBC Coco Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man, or not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now we already saw in verse 32 that Noah lived to 500. So what we see is that their lifespan is going to be reduced, of course, and that would be after the flood, and we see that. But what he's talking about here is that in 120 years that I'm bringing the flood, and I'm using my righteous man Noah, and he's going to build this ark to my specifications, and he's going to speak to the people. And in fact, scripture calls him the preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years, he's going to preach to the folk. And listen, his track record ain't no good, because nobody got converted with the exception of his family. For 120 years as he preached and built the ark. It says in verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Now please don't think that these giants, by the way, they're called Nephilim. They are not the offspring of these demon men and these women. They were there. It says they were there already in the earth in those days. And it says, and also look, after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, of men of renown. And by the way, these Nephilim, these giants are also mentioned in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. I continue, verse 5. And the Lord and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, look, was evil continually. And guys, when I read this verse this week, and every time I read it, you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of the times that we're living in right now. When that's all you hear about wickedness and folk want to do what they want to do, it makes me think of where we are right now. Verse 6 says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the earth, for it repented me that I have made them. And in verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And guys, we need to thank God for Noah. Because had he not been the only one, a preacher of righteousness, there would be nothing. God would have destroyed all of creation. But of course, it was part of God's plan and of all the people in the world. And we're talking about the whole world. And listen, the population had exploded. Folk were living a long time. Of all the people in the world, I can't even imagine how many it could have been. There was only one family that God said that they're worthy to continue on and to be alive in this world. Very sad. But again, I look at those times and I look at our times and I see that, man, there's somewhat of a correlation in regard to the wickedness. Amen. Guys, if you would, from here, I want you to go to 2 Peter. I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And that should be page 1059 if you're using a Pew Bible. And guys, stay with me. We're going somewhere here. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to zero in on verse 20 of 2 Peter. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll begin my reading at verse 20. It should be page 1059. I believe I marked that correctly. Thank you, Lord. Stay with me. 10:59, 2 Peter, chapter 1, and I'll begin my reading at verse 20. And here we see where false teachers are teaching contrary to God's standard or his plumb line. If you're with me, say amen. It says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And he's talking about Old Testament, New Testament. It's all God-breathed. He goes on, chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And he says, who privily bring in, look, damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So he's saying that during that time, look, God had called prophets, and during that time as well as during our time, there are folk that are called. We saw that when we started in Jude, folk that are called into salvation, folk that are called to preach, but there are those that just go because they have their own agenda and surely not working for the God of glory, but working for the God of this world. And it was going on then, and look, the false teachers were bringing damnable heresies, and there are some out there right now that if you lend your ear to them, they'll have you doing loops up in the air because they don't know the God of glory. And that's the sad part. Verse 2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And that word simply put means destructive ways. That there are a whole lot of folk that want to hear itchy ear gospel because it sounds good and makes them feel good. And they bow a knee at these guys and they follow them. It says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, they don't want to hear the gospel message that might challenge them. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to go God's way. I want to go the way to make me feel good. So they'll follow these guys because of what they're saying. And literally, they will follow them all the way to hell. He goes on in verse 3. And through covetousness, and we know that's greed, shall they with feigned words and their deceptive words, it says, make merchandise of you. And by the way, when you go to store, you buy merchandise and you buy it so that you can use it. And they're taking these folk that are listening to them and following them and they're using them and they will literally use them up. He says, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, God's going to take care of them in his time, and when he does, he's going to come quickly and thoroughly. Verse 4 says, "For," and he begins to give us some examples here, "for if God spared," look, "not the angels that sinned," same angels that we just saw in Genesis, "but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved under judgment." And again, same angels, fallen angels that we saw in Genesis 6. And look, we know that there have been demons that have been, who have penetrated man and got inside man. We know what happened with Judas. And even during Jesus' time, that he was always delivering folk from demons that were in them. But the ones in Genesis went even beyond what God would have them to do in regard to procreating through sinful men. And God said, enough is enough. You'll be jailed and you'll never see the light of day. He says in verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment," and they will be judged, "and spared," look what he says, "not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person," look, "a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And again, that preacher of righteousness, his sermon had to be titled, and I'm just simply using this loosely, "Is Gonna Rain," because indeed it did. They never knew nothing about rain. For 120 years, he got no converts. But thank God his family was with him, and they listened. Verse 6 says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes." The verse says, "condemned them with an overthrow." making them an example unto those that afterward should live ungodly. In other words, you want to go the way of Sodom and Gomorrah? And by the way, if you go to your travel agent and tell him you want a ticket to Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to tell you there's no such place. There was a place, but God destroyed it and removed it off the face of the earth because of the sin and because they denied him as the only true and living God. He says in verse 7, and by the way, he said that it should be an example that anybody sees that or knows that they should not want to go that way, but obviously, folk have not learned their lesson in regard to what he did there. Verse 7 says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And listen, Lot chose to live there, but he saw what was going on, man, and that vexed his heart every day seeing that. And guys, here we are living in the United States of America, and we're hearing about this sin, and we're hearing about that sin, and we're hearing about the government is okaying sin and amen in sin. And listen, all we can, best we can do is pray, and that's okay. And we can cast our ballots, but it grieves our hearts to know that we have come from where we were and have gotten to this place, and thinking in your heart and in your mind, I thought I'd never see a world or a nation that has fallen down so far in my time here in life. He says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vex his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And listen, guys, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling awful vexed from time to time in the time that we're living. Verse 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And what we know is that God's got us. He's taking care of us, just like he took care of Lot and literally had to drag him out of the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. And guys, he has us. And though we're right here, we are to be that preachers of righteousness and tell folk that indeed it's not going to rain, but you need to get right with Christ because he's coming back here. And understand, he's coming with his sword, and unless you know him for your Lord and Savior, you are going to be cut by his truth. Amen? Go with me. Back a few pages. We're still traveling. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10, it should be page 1057, but just turn back just a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 3, thank you, Lord. Look at verse 10. Say amen if you're there. And Peter writes here, for he that will love life and see good days, the verse says, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. And that word guile simply means conniving or cunning ways. It says, let him eschew evil. In other words, avoid evil and do good. In other words, do good unto our fellow man, but especially do good unto God. Let him seek peace and ensue it. In other words, we need to seek the Prince of Peace and make sure he's in our heart and make sure we give that peace and that love to others as well. And key, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord, look, is against them that do evil. And listen, if you're not right, you need to get right. And even as a believer, if I'm walking in sin and I expect God to answer my prayers, it's not going to happen. I done broke fellowship, and I need to get right with him before I can move on in this life in a peaceful fashion. Verse 13 says, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And by the way, only God is good. Verse 14, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And listen, as persecution gets closer and closer to those who are in the household of faith, don't be afraid and know that God's got you. In verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord in your heart. In other words, regardless of the situation, know he's near and dear because he saved me and he's in me. And be ready always to get an answer to every man that asketh you for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. He goes on, verse 16. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, and he's talking about the world, and listen, they are already speaking evil of you. You might not know about it, but I guarantee you they are. He says, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. In other words, if we're doing right and we still go through because of it, God is pleased. Verse 18 says, for Christ had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, and that means to be made alive, by the Spirit. And he goes on to verse 19, by which also, look what we see here, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And by the way, the same demons that were jailed that we saw in Genesis 6, that Christ, when he died and he was buried and they didn't see him for 3 days, that he went and had a sermon or a conversation with those demons that were already jailed, because for the most part, Satan's demons are on the move, on the run, but that one section of demons were jailed. And listen, I don't know what Christ could have said to them except for it is finished. And we see in verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark, it says, was a preparing, wherein it says, few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. And again, preaching for 120 years, and only 8 souls were in faith or came to faith in Christ. It says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities, powers and powers being made subject unto him. And right now Christ has all power. And right now, he's yielding or wielding that power. And one day, he's going to come back for a church without spot or without wrinkle and bring us up into his power heaven. And we'll be blessed by the best forever and ever and ever. Amen. Back to the book of Jude. Look at verse 6. And I'll read through these. It says, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going at the strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And he's talking about angels. He says in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, and look what he says, excuse me, contending with the devil, it says about the body of Moses, the verse says, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. In other words, Michael and Satan are of the same pecking order of angels, but he did not try to talk him down. He did not try to trick him out. He simply told the truth, and he told them that the Lord rebuke you. And guys, by the way, when I'm going through in this life, I don't have a conversation with Satan. I have a conversation with the Lord, and I simply ask him, if you would, please, for my household, for my house, would you please rebuke Satan? I'm not going toe-to-toe with him. I'm going to the one who has already defeated him, because in him lies all power. Amen. It says, likewise, verse 8, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities, again angels. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And by the way, Moses died. He never went and got to the promised land, but he saw the promised land. God allowed him to see it. And he buried his body, or had him buried in a place where nobody could find him. And the only reason I can think of is because if they had Moses' body, they would be promenading that thing around and say, let's have a trip to see where Moses was buried. And God did not want that. Israel was already struggling. They already was putting Moses ahead of God, or ahead of Jesus, and he would not have that done. It says in verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know as naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perish, it says, in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots, and he's talking about these false teachers, in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds. He said they are without water. And by the way, if there's a cloud with no water, it's good for nothing. And I love the fact, man, he's talking about their feasting with you, and it reminds me of communion. And listen, there are some that don't fear God, and they don't much care what the word says, or even what I say the word says in regard to them taking it, and they should not. They'll take it anyway. And he's talking about these guys here, these false teachers as well. He says they are without clouds without water, carry about the winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. In other words, physically and spiritually dead, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And he's talking about hell. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment to all, to convince all that the ungodly among you of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against, And we see all these ungodly attributes of these guys, because they are so far from God, they would not see him and won't see him when he sends them to hell. It says these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak of great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. In other words, man, they sound like great orators, and they can move mountains with the things they say, or at least think they can move mountains, and there are folk that will be moved, but God's children who know the truth won't be moved one iota. In verse 17, he said, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own, here we go, ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual. In other words, they separate themselves from God, and everything that they do is about their flesh and about their bodies and about what they want, and nothing about what God wants. It says, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some, it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and God will show you who you ought to, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Thank you, Lord. hating even the garments spotted by the flesh, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And Jude closes out his epistle with a hearty amen. Guys, we have gone through this book of Jude. Actually, it took longer than I thought. Went to some reference points to show and to prove what he is saying. I love the Bible is its own commentary, and we can go to different parts of the Bible in the old and in the new and see some of the same things as God validates his truth. Doesn't have to, but he validates his truth from his writers that has penned this book. I thank you for your attentive listening. I thank you for dancing around this book that we have in regard to going to different and various places. I thank you for staying with me. And I thank God thanks you for being part of his church. Let us close out in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to get through this book of Jude. And Father God, though it's one chapter, Lord, it's chock full of meat. And we thank you for the meat. I pray for each and everyone here, Father. Some are coming back and coming here from their sick beds, Father God. Watch over them, keep them, and bless them. Father God, we just ask in the name of Jesus for those that could not make it because of their ailments, that you minister to them and bless them in a mighty and a special way. Keep us mindful of you and what you would have us to do, Father God. And if there's anything in our lives or anything that we're doing that's unlike you, help us to know that, Father God, and even chastise that if we continue to do so, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. And let God's church say, amen. And amen. God bless you guys, and thank you.
Johnson and Congress. Did you see the pastor who he had prayed?
Wait a minute, say this again.
The pastor who prayed in Congress
okay.
for Speaker Johnson, he had him come in?
No, I did not see that.
You didn't see that? Okay.
Was it good or bad?
Oh my goodness gracious, I thought he was going to have an altar
call. Oh, really? Okay, good.
And they have to give the prayer. Ahead of time,
yes.
It has to be approved.
It has to be approved, yes.
I will try and send you the link. I think you would like to see it.
What I do know is that there was a Tony Evans that used to pray for something in Dallas, for I don't know what it was in Dallas. They used to ask him to pray all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally they asked him one time, he said, Tony, we want you to pray. Pastor Evans, we want you to pray. But if you would, don't pray in Jesus' name. We've gotten some complaints.
This guy used Jesus'
I understood, name. But they asked him not to. And so he said, okay, I'll pray. And so he knew this was going to be the last time he prayed for them. So he prayed, and he said that he ain't never said Jesus' name more than he ever did in that prayer. And of course, they did not ask him, but yes, I would
probably
like to
probably not,
that.
Again, but see, they had to approve it.
Yes.
Everything that he had to say.
Okay.
So I will try and remember this.
So it's probably good to hear.
I think you would enjoy
okay.
it.
Okay. I thank you. I thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at New Beginnings Lamp. LAMP at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.